Hallelujah. Well, you guys are the diehards of the diehards, right? Come back for some more. Well, instead of opening up to John 14, like, open up to Romans chapter 12. Because, again, I'm going to say again now, somebody correct, I had a minor correction. I said that I preached that message on December 15th, I think, this morning, and apparently it was December 13th when I taught it. So, sorry about that. Sure glad I never make any mistakes, you know. Sorry, that's... Oh, yeah, repent for lying, Gary. Repent for lying, okay. But it's the works of the Father, you know. So now, I didn't really realize until this morning when I got to looking at the message. He's really been talking about that and teaching us the fundamentals, of the how that really works all that time, going through John 14, 15, 16, 17. And so we finished Wednesday night, John chapter 17. But if we just come and we enjoy His Word, we're supposed to enjoy His Word. We're supposed to enjoy our time of fellowship with each other and our time of fellowship with Him. But if we don't actually change, see, the Word of God and the Spirit of God has been given to us to conform us to the image of Christ. And so I don't want to leave this without doing what I know to do as a teacher, to try and make you aware of all the tools that are available that might help us, me included, change. Knowledge alone is not enough. It is knowledge that has to be incorporated into your being. And it's really more than just mental knowledge. It has to become you. So, look in Romans 12. Two real familiar passages here. And then I want to share with you some tools that are available that you might want to take advantage of. So Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, mainly I'm trying to get to verse 2 here. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the renewing of the mind is very important. It's not the only thing involved, but it is part of what's involved. We could go to other places. The same writer, Paul, he wrote to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Well, study has everything to do with the mind, you know. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for exhortation and doctrine and so forth. He says study. A lot of people, probably not so many at this church, but in a lot of churches, the kind I grew up in, most of the time between Sunday and Wednesday, the Bible was never opened at home. It was only brought and opened during the church service. That's not exactly study to show yourself approved, like your life depends on it. So there is a renewing of the mind. Dave has helped us along this line more. He's helped me personally, and I know you too, more than any other minister that's ever been in my life, because he taught us the laws of meditation. Oh, thank God for the laws of meditation. And learning to leave every scripture in its context. Remember all those wonderful lessons he gave us? Like, it's like an artist's brush. Every word is like another stroke of the brush. And God's painting an image on the inside of you, see? Thank God for the laws of meditation. Then he went one step further and taught us about assimilation, where you assimilate now whole chapters and then whole books and really the whole New Testament. And very often for me, and I'm sure it's this way for you too, a difficult passage in one book, I just don't understand that. And no matter, I'll get my references and whatever, but when I don't understand it, there's something down on the inside that itches me or scratches me or something. It's like, you don't get that yet. Now, there's quite a few of those in here I still don't get. I know there's more than what I know. I know there's more than what I understand currently at this moment. How's that? Okay. And thank God for praying in other tongues, which I never knew before we came here that that had to do. Really, if you want to know the truth of it, verse 1, most people take verse 1 to mean where it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Most people think that's talking about fasting. And it's okay to put fasting there, but really, if we're going to follow the laws of meditation, what was he talking about back in chapter 8? What's he been talking about? The Spirit itself makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. He's talking about making that body of yours that likes to do all of the busy work and all of the fun things, make that rascal sit still and pray in other tongues. Your body will not like it. I've been at this a long time. My body still doesn't like it. You know? But you have to offer it as a living sacrifice. Now, through that process, eventually you offer it as a living sacrifice on the altar of the cross, whatever your cross is. Okay, that's not where we are. But, so I thank God for meditation. I thank God for assimilation. I thank God for the teacher, the Holy Spirit. I'll go ahead and mention this one, 1 Corinthians 14:2, where it talks about when he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. And I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say, okay, we know two things are going on when you're praying in tongues. Number one, you're talking to God. Number two, mysteries are being communicated. And he says, how many of you think that you are explaining mysteries to God? And it's so ridiculous, you know. But you never forget that. No. The Holy Spirit is explaining mysteries to you. Maybe you've got family troubles. Well, the Holy Spirit knows the answer to those family troubles. Maybe you've got a sickness in your body. The Holy Spirit knows how to get that out. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit is the answer. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, the revelator of the Word. He's the one that's really been sent to reveal Jesus so that we can see Him and by that process see the Father. Okay. So let's bring it down home, though. We've been in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 here for a while. And what it's really about is not to have our scholarly feathers stroked. Yes, I am an expert. Who cares? Can you get that kid out of the wheelchair right there? See, that's what we're talking about is revival. The change that will take place in us so that the works of the Father can be done through us. Okay? So what can we do? Is there anything we can do to be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind? Well, I brought some tools from my website, and I think they may also be at Dave's. I'm just not as familiar. These are at garycarpenter.org. Everything at my website is free, and we will not automatically put you on a mailing list for going there. We're not after your money. We're after you. Okay? We're after revival. Okay? But so you don't have to fear. And we're not asking you for your email address or anything. You know, just come and dine. Okay? For free. But if you go to the website, and then you click on media, and I printed this out myself so I can follow my own links here. There's a whole bunch of categories there. And in the... If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a thing called printed materials. If you click on printed materials, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different things that are there for free. They're in PDF format. Y'all know what PDF means. You can print them out on your home computer. It doesn't cost you anything. One of them that I've had there for quite a while is called the John 14 through 17 Confessions. If you print it out, this is what it looks like. Okay, you see it? And I think it's 12 pages long. If you print double-sided, you only have to use 6 sheets of paper. Okay. And what I've done there is go verse by verse through John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And I've taken every verse and made it into a present tense now confession. God calls those things which be not as though they were. Abraham had to learn to call those things which be not as though they were. It behooves us to learn to call those things which be not as though they were. So I wanted to let you know that this is there. I'll give you guys a copy tonight. I don't know if you have a computer or not. You can have this. And if anyone needs one and doesn't have a, if you don't have a computer or any way of printing that out, we'll mail you one for free. Just let us know. You can email us or, you know, write us a letter. The address and everything is at the website. Now, for example, let's go through a few of these. Because, I want to do that. If I was to take a show of hands, how many of you have read before this series, John 14, 15, 16, and 17? I'm pretty sure every hand will go up. I hope every hand goes up. Okay. But yet we don't seem to be walking in it yet. Can we say that there may be some transformation yet to be accomplished? There may be some renewing of the mind that yet needs to be done? This is one thing that you can do to help renew the mind. So, for example, John 14, 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Right? I made that into a confession. Okay? So just repeat after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe on you, whom God hath sent. The works that you do, I do also. And greater works I do, because you are with the Father." Let's continue. "Whatever I ask in your name, you do it, that the Father may be glorified in you. Anything I ask in your name, Lord, you do it. I love you, Lord. And I do whatever you say. Jesus, you asked the Father to send the Comforter to me. Holy Spirit, you live with me forever. I know you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of truth. You are with me. And you live in me. Jesus, you have not left me comfortless. You have come to me. And I see you, Jesus. Because you live, I live also." Can you tell something is happening? Can you tell? Just this one. Here lately, I had an assignment. I'm not going to tell you how long. But he says, I want you to walk the floor. Remember how in the early days he had me do those three verses for 4 hours a day? Thank God this one wasn't that long. But it's still in progress. He wants me a certain amount of time every day just doing these two verses. Now I'll read you the verses first and then we'll do the confession. And it's John 14, 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. The verse reads like this. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Oh, I'm sorry. It's John 14, verses 13 and 14. Sorry. He says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And it's so interesting to me because Jesus seldom repeats himself in two consecutive verses. But he does right there. So he's having me say it like this. "Whatever I ask in your name, Lord, you do it, that the Father may be glorified in you. Anything I ask in your name, Lord, you do it." And then I do that again. And then I say it again. And then I say it again. And right after that, I say it again. And then I say it again. And he has me do it. It's more than an hour at a time. What's he trying to do there? He's trying to make a new track in my brain. He's trying to make something happen, not only in my mind, but in my heart. See, because even though intellectually, I know that's in there, I can teach that that's in there, there's a hesitancy when I see a wheelchair case in a Walmart or somewhere. There's a little hesitancy there. What would cause that? What would cause that? It's called doubt. We'd like to put some other name on it, but it's called unbelief. It's called doubt. Not sure he'll do what he said he'd do. Well, how are we going to change that? That you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one tool that you can use is calling those things which be not as though they were, or the power of confession. And eventually, I'll never forget, way back when he was trying to rescue me from that poverty mentality I had. I grew up, and they love God. I mean, those people are all in heaven, or most of them. Anyway, they love God, but they just had this mindset that if you really have God, you had to be poor. They used to joke, but it wasn't a joke. Talk, Lord, we're praying for our pastor. Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. See, I'm not the only one. They did it like a joke, but they were about half serious with it too, you know. They were serious. So I grew up with this mentality. But then when I really wanted to go after God, part of me rebelled because part of me did not want to be poor. And then I find out God doesn't want me to be poor either. So he has me take those three verses and say them 4 hours a day on that assignment. 4 hours a day. And it took me forever. I thought I was never going to. I started and stopped. I can't even tell you how long. Weeks went by where I'd start and stop. I could not make it. But I find it. And again, I'd like to tell you that it was my great faith. No, our situation just finally got so bad. You know, if your toes are hanging out over the Grand Canyon, one more inch and you're gone. That's about the way we were financially. We were one more inch and we're gone, you know. And there wasn't anything else to do. There was nothing left to do. So I finally made it for that first 4 hours. God, I thought I was going to die. And you think, you know, that you think what you want is liquid sunshine to pour down from heaven and feel the brush of an angel's wing. And is that Gabriel's trumpet I hear? And, you know, that's what you'd like. I didn't feel nothing. And did your situation change? Yes, it did. It got worse. But I kept doing it. Once I made it once, then I kept doing it. It's kind of like that 4-minute mile. Once you do it, then you can do it. It went on for weeks, and then it went on for months. But suddenly, I'll never forget it. I don't know how to better to describe it. Something changed. Whether it went from my head to my heart or how you describe it, I don't know. But what was theory became reality. What was theorem became my life. And it's like I stepped out of one room that I'd lived in for a long time and I stepped across the threshold into a new room. And I've never been the same since. And I think if I hadn't have obeyed him, I don't know that we ever would have survived the kind of ministry that he called us to. Because for us, we had to believe to do a lot of stuff with no financial support in the natural at all. None at all. We weren't allowed to sell anything. We didn't take up offerings from any church. We paid our own expense. Anyway, all the instructions we got from him, I don't know that I ever would have obeyed him, been able to do what he called me to do had I not obeyed him in that early, early instruction. Well, now he's calling us to this revival where there's no doubt. There's no unbelief left. We believe it like he believes it. He's trying to get us there. And my Bible tells me that that transformation is done by the renewing of the mind. Yes, the Holy Spirit's involved. Yes, this is building on Romans chapter 8. Yes, it has. We're not changing. The basic foundation of spend a lot of times praying in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit teach you these things spiritually. But you can't take away from Romans 12:2 either. And that's by the renewing of the mind. So I just encourage you, if you've done this before, great. If you've lost your copy down through the years, I recommend that you get a copy. Now, so I don't forget to tell you, on that same page, okay, here we go again. Go back to the website, go to media. Then you're going to see another section on that page right in the middle. It says meditation, worship, relaxation in his presence with Christian scripture. And what this is, there's one by me there, and there's one by Alan Taylor there. And this is audio. On mine, I literally went through these confessions. And there's music in the background. It's relaxing. How many, I see some nods. Some people have taken advantage of this. This is free also. There's something about that, though. If you're having a real stressful time, I would advise you going there. Don't just listen. Add your voice. But that's available. And while you're there, listen to Alan's. He did one called Baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is really good. It's really good. So I just wanted you guys to know that those tools are available. Now, one more here. Let's just do one more little passage here, okay? I think this is good for us. This one starts here in John 15:15. We'll just do the confessions. You've heard the scriptures your whole life. All right, so let's pick this up here again in John 15:15. It says, "You do not call me your servant." Say it after me. "You do not call me your servant. For a servant does not know what his Lord is doing. You call me your friend. Everything that the Father tells you, Lord, you make known unto me." Did you ever think of it that way? "Jesus, I did not choose you. You have chosen me." Mike, he chose you. See, you thought you chose him. He chose you. Thank God. Let's finish this one. "You have chosen me and ordained me that I should go and bring forth fruit, and that my fruit should remain. Whatever I ask the Father in your name, you give it to me. Jesus, you have commanded us to love one another. If the world hates me, I know that it hated you before it hated me. If I rub the world would love its own. But I am not of the world. Jesus, you have chosen me out of the world. Therefore, the world hates me." See, if we can, it won't be a surprise when persecution comes. If you have pre-programmed your mind with this. It's been a while since we've taught on this verse. There's one in Timothy that says, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And the litmus test is, been suffering any persecution? How godly are you living? Because it says. Let's keep going here just a little. It said, "I'm not greater than you, Lord. The world persecuted you. The world persecutes me also. If the world kept your saying, they will keep mine also. Lord Jesus, the world does not know the Father who sent you. But the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, has come from the Father to me. He testifies of you, and I testify of you." We could go on and on. I'm telling you, this is a great tool to use to help renew the mind. And it's available for free. And I'm telling you now, on that day when you stand before Him and you say, "I know that Gary, he had those confessions that would have helped my mind, but he was selling them and I couldn't afford it." You liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm going to say, "No, they were there for free. My hands are clean." All right, let's do go to John 17 for just a moment. Not 1 John. Hang on. Going the wrong way. Actually, let's back up to 14 again. No, I'm not going to start all over again. I just can't get away from this. See, this is the verse, whether you know it or not. If you're a part of the prayer center, somehow or another, this verse hooked you like a fish. This verse, John 14:12. If not maybe not the literal verse, but the truth of it got you. And here's the verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these, I leave out the word works because it's in italics, it's not really there. Greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, we normally just quote that verse a lot because that's really kind of our foundational verse here. That's what we believe. Do you believe that? I believe it too, but back up one. Look at verse 11. You see there it says, he that believeth on me? That word believe is in the previous verse. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. See, and by the time he gets to the end of John 17, in fact, pinch it together here. Go to the end of John 17, right near the end of it. He's saying, when he says, he that believeth on me, he's not just pulling out of the air. He's saying, you got to believe what I just said. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That's how these works are being done. And then by the time we get to John 17, he says, verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me. That is how the works are to continue. It's still him, it's still the Father in him doing the works, but him is now in you. And he went through this meticulously, very slowly, like we've been doing for these past several weeks, explaining like Jane see the ball, trying to get it down where us rational creatures, our little brains can get a hold of this and go, what? Because these natural men are going, well, how could you be in me? They have no idea what's coming. But thank God we're on this side of the resurrection. We have the rest of the New Testament to understand what happened. And he had to be glorified. His form had to be changed, seated at the right hand of the Father, where he can become our Adam and literally rebirth our spirit. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So he's going, look, these works are going to continue. But you have to believe me. Believe what? That the Father is in me and that I am in you. That the Father is in me and I am in you. So let's say that a few minutes. Say, Lord, I believe you.
Lord, I believe you.
The works will continue.
Because now,
it's the Father in you,
and you in me.
Lord, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. And whatever I ask the Father in your name, he gives it to me. Lord, I'm getting this. The works are to continue. It's not by my own power. It's not by my own holiness.
It's you, Lord.
It's really the Father in you. But you're in me. I believe on you. I believe what you said. You're in the Father. The Father's in you. And you're both in me. The works continue. Christ in me. The Anointed One in me. That's how the works continue. And then you sandwich in between there all of that teaching. I am the vine. I mean, so many ways trying to get it across. I am the vine. You are the branches. Trying to get us. I mean, a branch. If you take a branch and break it off and let it dry a couple of days, it's just a stick. And hello, sticks. Get it straight. The stick can't do it. It's the life that flows through the stick, if you'll allow me. The life that flows through us, that's what gets it done. See? It is. He was trying over and over all these different ways to get it down to where we can understand it. But he says, this only works for people that believe on me. Or in other words, believe what I'm telling you here is the truth. But see, the enemy, he's always going to be, trust me, he's always, always, always going to be pointing at you, you little stick you. Pointing out your faults. Pointing out your dryness. Pointing out every little thing. Like, you know what? You know what's needful in a stick? To be connected to the vine. And let, and not be blocking the, you know, the flow. Amen? I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's part of believing what he said. Oh, you're going to bear much fruit. That part's great, isn't it? Yeah, but the good news is then the Father comes and he's going to prune you. Ow! So that you can bear more fruit. Well, welcome to the message of mortification. Has anyone ever experienced any pruning? I don't need to show of hands. I know you have. Oh, maybe once or twice. Yeah, we've had a little pruning. Yeah. But it's still him. It's still him. What matters is the life that's flowing through the branch. Say it again. I believe you. It's the Father in you. You in me. There's no reason for me to doubt, Lord. You said it. I've got it in red letters in my Bible. I know you said it. And you can't lie. It's the Father in you. And you in me. Father, say, the works of the Father will continue. And they're going to continue even more abundantly. Because there's so many believers now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.